Recorded live from their studio in Los Angeles, California, it's Brett and Alex in the Super Beard Show. This week, the news, random ranker, video games, the last three movies, and, as always, Patreon presents fan Q&A. The date is May 6th, 2022. Support this podcast at patreon.com/superbeardbros. My name is Ted Coonrod. Enjoy the show.
All right, hello and welcome back to Super Beard Show. I'm Alex, that's Brett over there.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Ted is in the back. This episode is called the lost and uncensored last episode of the Perry Dirkowitz Ice Cream Variety Hour, courtesy of... Who the hell is this? Who sent me this? Oh my God, where is it?
Someone who's like, comedy.
It's from Johnny.
Thank you, Johnny.
Yeah, so welcome to the Lost and Uncensored last episode of the Perry Dirkowitz Ice Cream Variety Hour. Let's just get right into the news. Brett, have you seen a trailer that was released this very morning for Ghostbusters Spirits Unleashed?
Yeah, I saw the trailer, yeah.
4v1, Ghost versus Busters, asynchronous multiplayer. It's the guys that made the Predator game and the Friday the 13th game, which I had fun with. I didn't really play the Predator one very much, but I did play Friday the 13th. And surprisingly, Ernie Hudson and Dan Aykroyd are in the game. It looks like Dan Aykroyd is like some kind of like Monster Hunter style upgrade counter, maybe. I don't know what, or I think Ernie Hudson might be like the like double kill. I think he might be like that guy of this game.
You know, I didn't think about that. Nothing would make me happier.
Yeah.
Nothing would make me happier than that.
Yeah. I think that's what's going on. Cause I think this game is like pretty like not about progression. You know, like through a story, I think it's very much going to be like a,
yeah, it's a multiplayer type game. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently you have to find it, blast it, tether it, and then trap it together with your friends. Kind of similar to how you do in the game that we played, except first person. And then the ghost is third person, and there's different like species of ghost, quote unquote.
Oh, sure.
And you have to like fly around and you can teleport and you can possess stuff. And you can summon pals.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like summon other ghosts. They'll be able to talk to Winston to acquire missions, or to Dan Aykroyd's Ray Stance at Ray's Occult Books to learn some busting wisdom.
Good old Ray's Occult. I'm glad that has been yes anded as much as it has been.
Ray's Occult.
Bookstore? Raise a cult, 7 o'clock on weekdays, midnight on Saturdays.
Yeah. It looks good. I'm excited to play that. I would love to like fuck around with that. I think that would be a fun thing for us to do. I don't know.
Do the ghosts just have to last a period of time?
I don't know yet. I like that announcement was like this morning, so I'm not sure yet.
Tan is like, how do you win as a ghost? What does it mean to be successful as an undead person?
Any word on the tier list?
There's already motherfuckers out there like that, I guarantee it.
Making the tier list? They're like, that's Pink Slimer looks like the fucking goat.
Right, right.
Yeah, but that's what I got. Ghostbusters game, excited.
Well, you ready for some more non-news, but I find it fascinating?
100%. I'm still thinking about that hole. I literally am like, I have this like visual of a straw in my head. Like this red and white striped straw, and I'm like, I've been like unfolding it and folding it together in my imagination.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that stuck with you, but let me ask you this: did you? It's impossible to look at anything as it exists. We are always seeing pictures of things in the past.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. The very recent past, but yeah.
Yes. Once again, this isn't news per se, but I find it fascinating. And in case you don't know about it, I think you should hear about it, listener. Because of the way that sight works with light, and because of light is an energy, and it takes time for that energy to travel to our eyes and whatnot, and even for that information to pass to our brains and whatnot, all that stuff seems to happen instantly, and for all intents and purposes, it is instant, right? But in actuality, technically, it's not instant. It takes a little bit of time for, like, the light, like let's say this. Light comes from the sun. Let's say it hits a nice statue in a fountain, right?
Right.
Like a beautiful little, like, peeing Cupid baby statue, right?
Right.
The light bounces off that statue.
Peeing Cupid baby.
You know what I'm talking about. The little Cupid babies that pee in the water.
Yeah. Like the old school version of Calvin and Hobbes on the truck.
Except more serene and less mischievous, you know?
Yeah.
Light bounces, comes down from the sun, bounces off of that statue, hits our eyeballs. And then that information in our eyeballs gets processed through to our brains and goes, oh, there's a statue of a peeing baby there. But that process takes a little bit of time. And as such, what our brain processes, the visual information that we're actually quote unquote seeing, is not the live version of that statue. It's a picture of that statue from a couple of milliseconds ago. That's infinitesimal and what's the word I'm looking for? Undetectable, but it gets really detectable when you start looking at outer space stuff. And I promise we're not going back to space this episode, guys, but it does give us a very good example. Cause like, stars, right? Stars are billions and billions of miles away, and it takes time for light to travel. It's the fastest stuff in the universe, but it still takes time to travel. But because of the vast distances, the light that, like, if you stare up at, don't look at the sun, but if you stare at night at, like, Orion's belt, right?
Yeah.
The constellation Orion's belt. Right. Little Archilian boy with the big head. If you look at that constellation, the way those stars look to you isn't how they look today. Right now.
Yeah, live. that's a way bigger. Yeah, that's like a huge, you're staring like thousands of years into the
millions of years ago. That is how that star looked millions of years ago. So it's almost like no matter what we're looking at, whether it's the stars, we can see how things used to be eons ago, or if you're looking like at a sandwich you're about to eat, we're never really seeing things live. We're always looking at pictures. And sometimes those pictures are very accurate and recent, and sometimes they're not. But I just find that fascinating that, like, what we perceive to be as reality, there's always some lag. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, even like, okay, like, for example.
Yeah.
You haven't seen me in a while, like, visually.
Oh, like, your face. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you haven't, like, clapped eyes on me in a while.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, your perception of who you're talking to.
Yeah.
Like, does it have a beard?
I saw you. I mean, it did until the last time I saw you for the vibe check, like last week or whenever that was.
Yeah.
So I know that you shaved your beard, but I get the point you're making.
Yeah. Like, it's not even just light. It's like everything. Like, your knowledge of everything is like got lag on it. Like,
right.
You like, yeah. I was driving through the east side the other day, going to Echo Park to walk around because it's a really pretty park. Mm-hmm. And on my way there, I decided not to take the freeway because I like to like cruise a little bit on the weekends. It's mm-hmm. my vibe. Mm-hmm. Like to roll down the windows and listen to some music, take my time. And it was just wild walking, like driving down the street and like thinking I was lost four or five times because I didn't recognize where I was, and then realizing that I wasn't lost. And that they just built like, you know, 2,000 homes in a neighborhood that didn't have them before.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, sometimes you've got a mental picture of a neighborhood or your city in your mind. And even though you haven't been there in a while, you're like, oh yeah, over there. Oh, that's across from the vacant lot over there, across the street from the Panda Express. You're like, vacant lot, motherfucker. That's a fucking BevMo now. Like, what? You know?
Yeah. Isn't that fucking wild?
It was kind of like when we were going through Google Maps.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's actually a great example. Oh, man. Of that.
I used to go to Santa Monica College for like 2 years or so. And a guy that I used to go there with, a friend of mine, we were catching up via Discord the other day in like a voice chat. And then we were reminiscing about the school. And we were like, oh, let's go check. Like we were talking about, like, don't you remember that restaurant? I'm like, no. So we went on Google Maps, Google Earth to like prowl the streets virtually to like, oh, yeah, I remember that restaurant now. And that led us to like looking at the perimeter of the school. Right. And. Right. The Google Maps footage was like probably like pretty recent at like 2019 or something like that. Around like the streets around the school. And I was like, man, I just wish we could get inside. Wouldn't that be cool? And like somehow it took me a long time, but I like, it felt like I glitched my way Google Street View wise into the school. That whole school is mapped. Like someone did it. Weird. You just have to know how to like access the Google Street.
You gotta figure out how to walk there.
Yeah. Quote unquote. You have to like figure out how to get from the street to the sidewalk. And somehow I did it. And the fucked up part was that when you got to like it, like literally it's the difference of one step. You're on the sidewalk and it's 2019. As soon as we stepped foot, like one step foot further on the campus, it became like 2007.
Yeah. That was the same. Remember we like, there was like that, like, giant dorm that got built on that one campus that we visited on Google Maps.
Oh,
it was
sure.
It was raining and like winter time and right. then like yeah. springtime.
Yeah.
10 years.
Yeah. Earlier. It looked like Russia. I remember that, but that's my point. Like it was so weird having this experience of barely moving through space, literally one step space wise, but time wise, it was almost a decade. It was freaky, fucking, dude. It was freaky.
It's fucking wild. Just one, that's a great, that's one great, like penny in the bucket of like why it's better to go visit things sometimes. Like, if you want to know what they're like, you know, like rather than looking them up on the internet or something, like, or a culture that you're not a part of. Like, it's always worth, I always like Americans, like if I could like change one thing about America, it would be that you have to go on a trip abroad for like a month when you turn like 17 years old or something like that.
Yes.
I would love for people to like just be shocked with that realization that this place is like another place that they don't have a good idea of. You know, I don't know. It's interesting to me.
I think it is very interesting. I think we're really getting off the topic of what were we talking about? Light.
Yeah.
We were talking about light and how it works. But that's okay.
Yeah, but it's like reality has lag in general because it's just all based on what you are ingesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is wild. But yeah, that's the news. I have a fun segment for us today that I call Random Ranker. But before we get into it, I want to just explain it so that we go into it with the proper attitude.
Oh, okay.
Because I want it, I don't want to get too into the weeds, just because I want to get to the end of the list. And I think the fun part, I think this is kind of made to make people upset a little bit, but basically what we're going to do is I've got this thing called the perchance.org.
Oh, okay.
Random video game generator.
Okay.
So it's a list of thousands of video games. And I can just click a button and it will tell me the name of a real video game.
Okay.
And I'm going to do that 10 times.
Okay.
And we are going to each say like a thought or two about the game.
Okay.
And then we're going to rank them all as we go.
Okay. What if I've never heard or played this game?
That is why I said that we need to have a discussion about the attitude that we should go into this with. I think that the ones that we don't know about, like, we shouldn't look them up. I think we should just kind of decide what we think they are and put them on the list as they belong.
Oh, but so prejudice. Let's be prejudiced.
Yeah. 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 This is not you know, a factual list. This is a party game.
All right. Vibe. I'm kind of picking up what you're putting down. Let's see how it works. Yeah.
And I'm also, I also think we're going to like surprise ourselves with our knowledge. I think. Okay. I don't know. But yeah, let's do it. First one. Bam. It is called, oh, it's called Tales of the World Rev Unicia.
All right. So that sounds Japanese as hell.
It sounds, yeah, it sounds like a JRPG.
Okay,
yeah.
But can I look these up?
If you want to, Ted, but you know, don't give us too much. Don't spoil it.
All right.
All right. Well, okay. Got it.
It's good. It's good that this one, we don't know what it is because it's the first one.
Okay.
But I'm going to assume that it's like a pretty bland sort of like, I haven't heard of it. JRPG. If I haven't heard of it in the West and it's a JRPG, which is what I assume it is just because of the weird like Latin sounding or like French sounding like subtitle, Tales of the World Rev Unicia. And that's Rev like R-E-V-E, which I think means dream, right? Something like that, or sleep.
Yeah, I have no idea what this is. Yeah.
So I'm gonna assume that it's like a bland JRPG that looks like it's on Sega Dreamcast. That's my thought, or like a PS2 game like that. Uh-huh. So that's number one. Number two, this is called Inazuma 11 Go 2 Chrono Stone.
Well, that's the sequel.
Inazuma 11 Go 2 Chrono Stone
is the sequel to the first one we just heard. Yeah.
I'm not 100% on this. Okay. I think I know what this is. I still think it's a JRPG, but I'm pretty sure that the Inazuma 11 series is a RPG series that is based on soccer.
How do you know that?
Cause I'm a fucking freak, brother.
All right.
I'm a fucking freak on a leash. Okay. But the question is what's better? A JRPG that has sort of like a bland fairy tale thing or like a weird soccer thing. My instinct is to give it to the soccer, like put soccer above it just because it's there. It's a take based on my understanding, but I don't know. Is soccer better or worse than just a straightforward try?
Good question. Good question.
I don't know. Like, what do you think? I'm voting for above. Ted will be the tiebreaker.
Yeah, let's go with the soccer.
Okay, I'm going to put soccer above Tales of the World. Oh my God. Formatting on this is just, I'm not copy pasting again. That is crazy. Okay, one more. This is The Simpsons Itchy and Scratchy in Miniature Golf Madness.
All right, well, this beats everything.
I think so too. First of all, the reason that it beats everything for me, golf game. I love golfing in video games.
I'm just surprised that like they went for Itchy and Scratchy instead of The Simpsons. Like you could get a mini golf game based on The Simpsons and you'd have content for decades, right? All those characters and courses you could possibly have, but they specifically went for Itchy and Scratchy. Very interesting.
I wish it would say what system it's for. Because I don't know what this game is. I've never heard of this game. Have you?
No.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it. I'm going to assume that it has some sort of, like, the Itchy and Scratchy part has something, like, there's, like, some sort of, like, blood or, like, violent element to this game. Mm. Like, some sort of, like, thing where you, like, kill Itchy and Scratchy to, like, win the golf game or something like that.
That makes sense.
I'm going to assume. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that, okay. So far that's on the top. And I think I agree with you there. So right now it's Simpsons, Inazuma 11, then Tales of the World. Next, we got Sega Bass Fishing. I want to put it at the top of the list. I fucking love Sega Bass Fishing. I don't know how you feel about fishing games, but they touch me in a way that I think is not common to all gamers. I react very well to like
apparently
fun arcadey depictions of mundane things like bass fishing.
I think I'd probably still enjoy Itchy and Scratchy more personally.
Okay. So, but we both agreed that it goes above Inazuma 11 and Tales of the World?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. So I say above Itchy and Scratchy. Brett says below. Ted, what's the vibe?
Below.
Below? Oh, man. Okay. Damn. All right. Tie broken. Okay. Sega Bash Fishing. On the list. Okay, one more. NBA 2K Playgrounds 2. Huh. NBA 2K playgrounds?
Put it below the bass fishing.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm pretty sure that's like a kid's basketball game. Like a like how they do NBA 2K, and then there's like the like Wii version that sucks, and it's like got like Caillou looking players in there. I don't know.
Oh, now I want that. I want Caillou Streetball Edition.
I feel like this is like maybe a bad basketball game, and I kind of want to maybe put it below Inazuma 11 because I feel like Inazuma 11 might be good if it's got a sequel. Mm. But I don't know. You want to put it? I definitely below Bass Fishing, 100%.
Sure. Okay.
But do you want to put it above or below Inazuma 11?
Above.
Above. All right. NBA 2K Playgrounds 2. Okay. Great. Oh, okay. Up next, we got Bloody Roar Primal Fury.
Oh, man. I wish I could remember which one that was. But anyway, like, that's going Bloody to the Roar? Very top of the list for me. I'll tell you that much.
I think so, too. I like Bloody Roar. I mean, okay. Right now, I have a problem because Sega Bass Fishing for me, definitely I would put above Bloody Roar. But Sega Bass Fishing is like in number two position right now and Simpsons is above it. And I don't want to put Bloody Roar below the Simpsons. So I think if you want to put it at the top, I think I'm better with putting it at the top than I am with putting it below the Simpsons. So I'm gonna put it at the top.
Okay.
Bloody Roar is actually sick.
Yeah, I missed that series.
I forget who makes it. It's like somebody weird. It's like HAL Labs or something makes it.
Yeah. Hudson Soft.
Bloody Roar, Primal Fury. Yeah. Which one is Primal Fury?
I don't know.
I always thought that they all had numbers.
No, not all of them.
Oh, yeah. I always loved turning into that rabbit chick. That was cool. That was cool. If you don't know what Bloody Roar is, it's like your ults are like you turn into an animal.
It's a fighting game, folks. It's a fighting game.
Oh, yeah. It's like a 3D fighter. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's six. We got four left. Oh, Fatal Fury Special.
Yeah, I don't know which one to that me, is either.
I think that's the one where that's the end of Geese? Is that his name?
Geese.
I think that's the end of Geese's life. I think that's the one where you kill him at the end.
There's so many Fatal Furies.
I think I want to put this at the top of the list.
No, I want to put it at number two. Like we have, I would much rather play a Bloody Roar right now than a Fatal Fury. Like I can still play as Terry and Andy and those guys all day, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
It's like a fighting game, you guys. It's a fighting game.
Yeah. You know what? I'm convinced. Fatal Fury Special under Bloody Roar Primal Fury. I hope Bloody Roar Primal Fury isn't a sucky one, but that's fine. We don't know. Fatal Fury Special. Okay. Up next. Oh my God. Okay. Up next is The King of Fighters 11.
I remember 11. That's the one where Ash Crimson first got introduced, I believe.
What system is this on?
System?
PS3?
PS2. Probably PS2. I think King of Fighters 11, I think, had green font, I think, with maybe red highlights.
Am I thinking of King of Fighters 13?
I don't think I'm thinking of 13. No, I think King of Fighters 11, I believe, and I'm not looking it up, but I'm pretty sure that's where Ash Crimson first came out. I have a lot of fond memories of that. But I'll tell you what, I'm still putting it below Bloody Roar at this point, just because I'm so nostalgic for Bloody Roar.
Just because Bloody Roar is interesting? I'll take that.
Like, I want to play Bloody Roar.
I've not played King of Fighters 11. I fucking love King of Fighters, though. I think my favorite one is like 97 or 2000. I like those ones. But I like the new ones, too. I haven't played the very, very newest one. Okay, so that's going to be number two on the list above Fatal Fury Special. Does that sit right with you?
Yep. Sounds about right to me, I guess.
Okay. This fucking list. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Two more. Next one is SimCity 3000.
Oh. I've never played a SimCity before.
Totally different part of your brain unlocked. It's in the realm of... What was that, Ted?
It just saddened me.
That Brett's never played a SimCity?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I've never played SimCity 3000. I have a... There's some part of my brain that wants me to say that SimCity 3000 is like popularly like reviled compared to SimCity 2000. But the vibe of the game is very chill for most of the time. And you can, if you have the disasters on it, becomes kind of stressful, like in the way that the mayor looks out the window and he's stressed out. But it's a very like low energy game for the most part. Like it's hard for me to put on this list. I want to put it below Sega Bass Fishing in my mind right now. But I don't know. Does it go lower because you don't know what it is? Like, are you aware of it and you kind of like the idea of it, or what's your thought on it?
I can put it around, you know, somewhere in the middle of the list, I suppose.
Middle list. Is it better? Do you want it to be, is it better than NBA 2K Playgrounds?
I think I'd probably rather try it than an NBA game, I suppose.
Yeah. Okay. And then what about bass fishing? Would you rather bass fish or would you rather SimCity?
I think I'd rather SimCity, honestly.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you know what? That's kind of a fine place to put it. I'm going to put it right in the middle there. Wait, would you rather play it or would you rather golf with Itchy and Scratchy?
I would rather golf with Itchy and Scratchy.
Okay. Yeah, we're of the same mind on this. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. One more game. Here we go. Bam. WWE Immortals.
Oh, man. That could be anything.
To me, that sounds like a cell phone game.
Yeah, that could be anything.
But, yeah.
Like, I'm, to be completely honest, I'm imagining throwing these games on for 5 to 10 minutes at the most each. So,
yeah.
I'll put it below the fighting games, personally.
I would put it below the fighting games for sure. Do I want to try? I don't really have a lot strong connection to WWE, but I do love the, like, if there's a chance that it's like one of those, like, you know, no mercy style games, I'll put it right. Yeah. Right there. Right below the fighting games. But if it's like a big head mode, like fucking chibi gotcha game, I'll be embarrassed. Okay. I'm going to put it right where I'm going to put it. I wrote Wii with two E's instead of WWE just now. Hold on. Okay. So looking at this right now, this is our final list. I'm going to read it to you and then we'll have one last chance to edit if we want to fix it, if we think there's an injustice on the list.
Okay.
But I'm just going to read it in the order we have it for the greatest video games of all time, official Super Beard Show top 10 list. Here we go. Number 10, Tales of the World, Rev Unicia. Number 9, Inazuma 11, Go 2, Chrono Stone. Number 8, NBA 2K Playgrounds 2. I think we might need to fix that at the bottom there. Sega Bass Fishing, number 7. Number 7. Number 6, SimCity 3000. Number 5, Simpsons, Itchy and Scratchy, and Miniature Golf Madness. Number 4, WWE Immortals. Number 3, Fatal Fury Special. Number 2, King of Fighters 11. Number 1, Bloody Roar Primal Fury.
Sounds fine to me.
I think that I want to put Inazuma 11 Go 2 above NBA 2K Playgrounds 2 because I've never played an Inazuma 11 game, but my light understanding of what they are and what I believe the games are that I'm thinking of, I think that series is like particularly quite good. So does anybody oppose me putting Inazuma 11 above NBA 2K Playgrounds 2 for the official list?
Knock yourself out, man.
All right. I'm going to do it. We're locking it in. I did something dumb. All right, I don't want to read the whole list again, but if you want to see the official list of Super Beard Show Best Games of All Time 2022, it's available now on patreon.com.
/Superbeard Bros. There it is.
You can go check it out. And I'll put it in the show notes, but don't. I'll put a spoiler tag on it. So if you guys want to see that. I'm not trying to gatekeep. I just want you guys to be able to go read it somewhere. So go check it out. That was kind of fun, right?
All right, cool.
Yeah, kind of a fun little zang. Okay. So up next, I have I want to do the last three again, which you did in the first episode. But this time, instead of video games, I wanted to talk about movies. So I just wanted to talk about the last three movies that we watched for fun and what we thought of them, kind of. So I figure I could do one and then you could do one kind of deal.
Last three movies.
Does that work for you?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Just period, not new movies, just last three movies.
No,
period.
Yeah, yeah.
Does it have to be literally all the first way through? Like last three movies I watched all the way through?
How about this? If you have seen the movie before,
yeah,
and you feel like you actually watched it and didn't just like see footage of it for a second,
yeah,
I think it counts.
All right, fair enough. I just got like
for me,
what
my first
are.
One, my first one was X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I just watched that like 2 days ago.
Okay, all right.
Start to finish.
All right.
I'm sure you've seen this movie.
It's been a while. Yeah.
Almost bad enough to like not want to hate watch. I thought parts of it were like genuinely funny. I think there's like potential for this movie to be like a classic sort of like shitty movie, because there's some wild parts. Like literally there's a part where Gambit shows up and like tries to get involved in a fight with Logan and Victor.
Uh-huh.
And who are brothers in the movie, by the way. And then he's like about to get involved. He starts talking and then Wolverine just like clocks him in the face with his elbow and knocks him out and they start fighting. And then like probably 10 to 15 seconds later, maybe 30 seconds later, Gambit like is then we cut to Gambit running across the rooftops at night and he like jumps back down into the alleyway that they're in and like fights. I don't know. Just basic flaw, like basic, like just true mistakes and flaws. Dominic Monaghan is in that movie. I forgot about that. Will I Am is in that movie and he dies in like a really fucked up way and he has like really weird lines. Oh, it was weird. It's a weird movie.
Yeah.
I don't know how that like got made.
You know, X-Men money.
I know, but like the X-Men movies, like even the third one, it's like the third one, it's kind of not that great.
Well, it made a bunch
of
money.
I think some,
it made a bunch of money.
Yeah, I know, but they were all pretty good. Like they're all like decent films. Like three is definitely like the weak one of the three, but it's still like a self-respecting movie. This one, Wolverine, the dude, Maverick or what is it? Agent Zero? I forget who it is. Like that Asian dude with the guns. I think it's supposed to be Agent Zero.
Right.
He crashes in a helicopter and he like says something to Logan, like, you'll never get away with this. And Logan's like, yes, I fucking will. And then he puts his claw out, like one claw out. And he's like, maybe like 25 yards away from the helicopter. And he scrapes the rocks and like a trail of like flaming gas. Like he like sparks the rocks and it like ignites fuel, which like goes back and like blows up the helicopter. And he like walks through the flames.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crappy.
Yeah.
What about you?
Last night I watched a good chunk, like enough. Like I've seen this movie several times and I think I've watched enough to make it count. Like I watched it last night. Sure. I watched Total Recall again.
The like classic movie or like the Colin Farrell one?
Which one do you think I watched several times?
Dude, I don't know. I fucking watched X-Men Origins Wolverine.
You don't know which one? Okay, fair enough. Well,
I'm going to guess that it was the like John Carpenter one.
Sorry? You mean Paul?
Isn't it John Carpenter?
It's Paul Verhoeven, you know, RoboCop guy.
Oh, Verhoeven.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And you know, I really fucking love that movie. It's funny as hell. It's really funny.
I like how the environments look. Like I always like thought that it would be chill to live on that Mars.
I mean,
like, that seems like a cool place to be. Looks
I
like
guess if you have
Ninja
a bunch
Turtles
of money and you
Mario.
Like lived out of a hotel, sure. Yeah, but
that's true.
You know, it's kind of like a real high town, low town thing going on. You know.
Yeah, it has like stunt show set vibes or like Super Mario Brothers the movie vibes. I don't know. I dig it.
Yeah, I really like that movie.
Yeah, that movie, If you're young and dumb and you don't watch anything, go watch Total Recall. That's a fun one. That's a fun old one to actually watch.
Good times.
Up next, I watched West Side Story, the new one. Did you see that movie?
No, I did not.
Here's the thing. I'm not like a big musical guy. Okay. I was in West Side Story in high school. I do appreciate like a good song. I think West Side Story has some of the most beautiful songs of any musical that I know. You know, it's really good. And then Steven Spielberg is like an incredible director who only gets better. Like some of the shots that are in this movie between him and what's that guy's name? Janusz Kaminski, the like dude he always works with.
Mm.
I'd say it's a prettier movie than the original.
Mm.
I think that it's good. I mean, I don't know. The only thing that sucks about the movie that like really is like really unfortunate is that it's like filthy with autotune for like some of the characters.
Huh.
Like, yeah, like for example, Maria, this is her first movie. I forget what her name is, like Rachel something. She was like a high school student who auditioned through Twitter to get in this movie. Mm. And she is in the movie because she is like fucking good at singing.
Hmm.
And she's like a triple threat type person.
Wow.
She's like awesome.
Wow.
But like Baby Driver, mm-hmm. right? He's Tony.
Right.
What's his name?
Ansel Elgort or some shit like that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I'm not trying to make fun of him. That's like very close to his name.
No, I think that might legit be it. But like actor, solid. Mm-hmm. Pretty good actor. Mm-hmm. He can kind of dance and move around pretty okay. But his singing, he looks good when he's singing, but he's I can hear that robot just keeping him on key.
Oh,
and like half the jets too. Like I was watching the Officer Krupke scene, half of them can't sing, but like some of them can sing. I don't know. That was the one thing that like I felt like Steven Spielberg like maybe like shouldn't have taken us for granted so much that people can't tell when autotune is there, because it was really weird that some people had it and some people didn't.
Mm, mm.
Worth a watch.
Oh, okay.
For like legitimate reasons. What about you?
I know that recently I watched a documentary. I think it's called Lucy and Desi.
You can
probably figure out what it's about.
Yeah,
I think it came out pretty recently too.
And that's the real one, right? Like it's like a true documentary.
As opposed to what?
Cause there's also like, I live very close to a very, very busy intersection in like the middle of Los Angeles, where there's like billboards all the time. I know that there's Lucy and Desi, which is like, I assume is the like unscripted documentary, but then there's also Nicole Kidman and Javier Bardem.
Oh, right. Yeah. I'm not talking about that one. Yeah. I'm talking about the documentary. I love a good documentary, and I think this one, you know, it was very nice. And I think the most fascinating part of it was I've seen Lucy stayed in the spotlight throughout her whole life. But I personally, I'm sure this stuff was out there, but I had never seen so much video and photo evidence. Like, he's a fucking cryptid. Like, I've never seen so many like photos and video of Desi later in his life. I had never seen that stuff. So it was very fascinating to see that stuff. That's all.
Are you a Lucy guy?
I mean, you know, I grew up on I Love Lucy. Yeah. I like Lucy. Yeah.
Well, okay. You remember that scene with Cuba in whatever the name of that movie is, where he's like trying to get the money or whatever. And he's like on a bus full of Lucy's.
Yeah, of course. It's Rat Race.
Rat Race. Thank you.
Yeah.
I knew you knew the name of that movie.
Yeah.
I dated a girl in like middle school.
Tell me she's on that bus.
She's not on the bus, but like if that was real,
yeah,
like she and her mom like would be on that bus.
Oh, so she's hardcore Lucy devotee.
Yeah. I remember looking at footage of them at like, it was like a Lucy con where like they went up to like a booth where you get to pretend to be drunk and say vitamin to Vegemin.
That's fun. Wow.
Yeah.
This movie was real insightful as to like, you know, their whole relationship. And, you know, a lot of us have heard the fairy tales of how they came together and what they were like during the show. But a lot of that stuff with later in life after they got divorced and what their lives were like, I learned a lot. I thought it was a very well put together documentary. Very surprised when As soon as it was over, directed by Amy Poehler popped up. I was like, good for her, man.
Amy Poehler?
I was like, good job. You nailed it, man. Well done.
Did Little Ricky, was that his real name?
No, his name is Desi Arnaz Jr., I believe. No, it's not a joke.
I know. It's just, it's like the Marvel family or something. I don't know. It's just funny to me. Little Ricky. Okay. Yeah, dude, I really do. I didn't know that the fucking movie is like nominated for Best Picture, the one with Nicole Kidman and shit.
Yeah, that one was something special too.
You saw that?
Yeah, I did.
I'm going to watch that like probably this week. I'm excited about that. My next one, I saw this one. This is a movie that if you have not seen it, I recommend it heartily to you specifically because I know you love a fucking like airtight little screenplay that is like, just real good. Nightmare Alley. That's the Del Toro movie that just came out. That's like, you know, this like circus performer movie that's like with Willem Dafoe and Bradley Cooper and what's her name? The chick from Girl from the with the Dragon Tattoo. I can't think of her name. It's her and her sister are like both famous. She's in there, and it is you know, your boy Ron Perlman's in there. I saw the black and white version, which was like a special engagement of the movie. That was like, and Kate Blanchett's in it. So the version I saw was completely in black and white, but the one on, and it was cool, but the one on HBO is like in color. I got to watch it again, but you should watch it. It's real cool. It's like real dark and real neat. Like real weird
like
setting. It's based on like
cocktail,
a pretty old
dark
book.
And neat.
It's dark. It's got like circus imagery, but like, it's like a fable. It's like a parable. It's neat. It's really like a unique movie. And like everybody in it is somebody that I like. Toni Collette's in there. The guy, who plays the like evil rich dude in, LA Confidential, who's like dead. The guy kind of looks like Walt Disney. He's in there. The guy who's in like Step Brothers as the dad and who's in like, that Burn After Reading movie. He's in there. Just a bunch of great actors. The guy, he's the same guy from, House of the Devil. What's that movie called? That like parody horror movie, Cabin in the Woods. It's the guy who plays one of the scientists in that. Just an incredible cast of characters. And it's directed by fucking Guillermo del Toro. And it's neat. It's real neat. Real cool.
Oh, okay.
What about you?
I was racking my brain for a second. Then I remembered yesterday I saw a movie that I used to watch all the time back in the day when I was growing up. And I haven't seen it in years. And like I caught it on cable yesterday. Start to finish. I'm like, yes, I am watching this. I used to watch it with my mom all the time. We enjoyed it. Rodney Dangerfield, Jack Hay. Is that ringing any bells?
Oh my God. No, I know what movie that is. I've seen it like maybe like once or twice.
Young Jonathan like Brandis. It's like Ladybugs. Comedy Central? Ladybugs, everybody. Ladybugs. Here's a premise. Rodney Dangerfield can't get no respect. He is the boyfriend to the single mother. And the single, they want to get married, but he doesn't have enough money. He needs a promotion. And all it also doesn't help that her teenage son, played by Jonathan Brandis, like really doesn't respect Rodney Dangerfield, of course.
Yeah.
And and the boss is like, all right, you want a promotion there, Rodney Dangerfield? Well, you're going to coach this girls' soccer team that like I sponsor. And of course, Rodney Dangerfield doesn't know the first thing about soccer. But you know who does is his like stepson kind of. And
Brandis
is also a troublemaker and Brandis gets kicked off of his soccer team for being a troublemaker. Brandis wants to play soccer. Dangerfield needs a soccer player. One costume and wig later, you've got hilarity ensuing, baby.
Yeah, I looked up the poster for this. This is the movie that I was thinking of. It was at Blockbuster Video because I always thought it was weird that Jack Kay's in it. Jack Kay?
Oh, man. Her name is definitely...
She's the mom from Sister Sister,
her
right?
Her name is definitely Jack Kay.
That's the mom from Sister Sister?
Oh, you better believe it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I never knew how to pronounce that. I never said it out loud.
Ask a black guy. Yeah. That is definitely Jack Hay. Yeah.
That should be one of the segments we do on the show. Yeah. but 1992.
I just real simple premise. It's for a fucking kid like me growing up, it was hilarious. I loved it, you know?
Yeah. Also featuring Tommy Lasorda as Coach Cannoli.
That is true. That is actually true. Yeah.
What the fuck? What is Jack Hay doing today?
I don't know what Jack Hay is doing, but God bless her. She's always a delight. Always.
Let's see. I'm going down to the bottom of her IMDb. 2021. She's in two movies on TV mm-hmm. where she plays a character called Denise.
Okay.
Two different movies. One is called Deceived by My Mother-in-Law, and one is called Mommy's Deadly Con Artist.
Oh my both God.
TV movies where she plays Denise.
Tyler Perry Productions, then, maybe?
Hmm. Maybe. I can't even click on them. They don't even have like a Wikipedia page.
I see.
Then she's also in something called The Wrong Cheer Captain, Principal Simpson. That sounds like an ABC Family.
Mm.
And then something that does have a link, a Peacock original Christmas movie that is called Days of Our Lives, A Very Salem Christmas.
Oh, look, as long as she's getting work, I'm happy. She's been killing it since like the late 70s. Good for her.
You want to know something that makes me feel guilty?
Hmm.
I was worried when I clicked on her link that she was going to be dead.
I mean, yeah, if you haven't heard from her in a while, there's a chance, right?
Oh, but she's on Days of Our Lives regularly. She's a regular.
Get out of here, really?
Yeah, since March, she's only been on it for a year, but she's on Days of Our Lives now.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you know Jack Hay from 227, then you are a real one. And by real one, I mean a real black person. And by real black person,
I'm not a real black
person. I mean a real black person who is probably old now.
All I know about is I really just know her from Sister Sister and like a bunch of other times she played kind of like a similar character and some other things.
Yeah, that's just Jack Hay. That's just who she is.
That's how it is with acting sometimes,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you play like slightly altered version of yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into the Q&A segment. Okay, last week's question was, which hypothesis do you believe is the most likely explanation for the Fermi paradox? Just a quick reminder what that is. That's what we were talking about last episode, which is like the question of like, what is the deal with aliens coming or not coming? Or what do we think? Are we going to see them? Whatever. How is it possible that we haven't seen them? Even though they, by all like logic, it seems like they should be out there somewhere, right?
I was, as you were saying that, I was checking online for the actual definition of the paradox.
Yeah.
And somehow you were word for word correct. That was incredible.
Yeah, I memorized that off Wikipedia. Wikipedia.biz is my favorite. It's one of the websites that I use.
Mm.
But yeah, what you guys wrote in, we got some questions and we're going to read them right now. Brett, this one's for you to read from Sergio.
Okay, so Sergio says, intelligent, highly developed life is out there. The universe is so vast and that was supposed to be a period there. Okay.
Yeah.
Intelligent, highly developed life is out there. The universe is so vast and the level required for inter/extragalactic contact takes so much time. We're more likely to make contact with ghosts/ruins of civilizations than active life forms. So it sounds like what Sergio is saying is they're making two points, right? Number one, Sergio is like, as a given, intelligent life is out there. And I'm like, and I don't know if that's a given, but I do believe it just based on numbers, right?
Yeah, sure.
But they're also saying that the universe is so vast that it's a distance thing, right? Which is, yeah, it makes total sense. Yeah.
That's kind of where I was at with it.
Yeah. Distance is a big part of it, I think.
I think that, though, I got to say that if we're saying it's more likely that we're going to make contact with ghosts or ruins, I don't think so.
Then aliens?
Why, I think it's just as likely.
Well, what does that mean, ruins of civilizations? Like discovering that, on our planet used to be an ancient civilization that we didn't know about that was actually advanced or something?
I think he's saying, like, if we find a planet somewhere, it's more likely that they're going to be...
I see. So...
Yeah, I think that's
not
what they're saying.
So I see. So you think Sergio's talking about ghosts or evidence of a civilization that used to exist on some planet somewhere,
yeah,
as opposed to real live aliens.
Yeah, I think. And I'm saying I think it's just as likely you'd run into one rather than the other.
I thought he meant by the time we got the message, the whole civilization's already over.
Oh,
I see.
Make contact with ghosts. I see what you're saying.
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
like okay. That does up, seem likely. Yeah. Like a Galaxy Quest.
Well,
except
they were alive.
We're still here.
But I see. I think it's possible. Yeah, who knows? But based on the way that like signals travel, / like actual physical matter has to travel. Yeah, maybe like by the time we did get a signal, whoever sent that signal would be long dead. As a matter of fact, maybe the inverse is true. Maybe by the time any alien, intelligent alien civilizations get our signals, we'll be long gone.
Whoa, like Fatso and Stinky.
Like Fatso and Stinky.
And Stretch.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know who they are. I don't know why you brought them up, but. You know.
Ghosts.
There it is. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on.
I like the film Casper.
Oh, wow. You're just like throwing references at me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. Hey, okay.
Do you guys remember the 90s?
I really do.
It's a good decade.
Wait, Galaxy Quest was 99?
I think it was earlier than that, even.
Oh, shit. I'm a hero.
Yeah. Okay. Next one is from Jason, who writes, okay, I'm an atheist, so I have no higher power idea or anything, which may make this come off as pretty pessimistic. However, truly, it doesn't matter what the reality is. I'm just happy to be here.
Wait, so we asked Jason, why do you think this paradigm exists? And Jason's like, first of all, it doesn't matter. Okay.
Yeah. Like, okay. First of all, you should just be glad you're
yeah. Yeah.
First of all, shut up. But
yeah. Okay. Thanks, Jason.
So anyway, I believe that we are an alien sixth grade science project.
Okay.
I think humanity as a whole has this sense of egocentrism. Everyone thinks, oh, we got the aliens have got to be either be primitive to respond or are too far away. Nah, we're just dumb monkeys, probably made by a young alien who has dared to make a civilization.
Now, I'm gonna pause you there because I do think that, you know, our race is pretty egocentric, you know, the idea that like we're special. But I think that Jason's idea is more egocentric than the idea that a lot of people have, which is like we're a cosmic accident. He's saying we're not an accident. We were created by something. And maybe we were, you know, we're not important to that creator, whoever it may be. But I think it's very funny for him to be like, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in a higher power. But I do think that someone created us. Like, first of all, that's funny to me. But also, like, I think that's more egocentric than thinking that we're just an accident.
Okay, but let me blow your mind with this.
Uh-huh.
That sixth grade alien's parents.
Yeah.
Mod and Rod, kid's name.
Oh,
God.
Oh, my God. You're right. Remember the 90s?
Yeah. Hey, what a great decade. Remember when God was in the 90s?
Remember then?
Remember
but you feel what I'm, do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. 100%.
Like the idea that like he could, like Jason could be absolutely right.
It's just us being special in another way, really.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
As opposed to true absolute randomness.
Yeah.
I think Jason's belief makes us just as special as if God or whatever created us.
Yeah.
Please continue.
Oh, yeah. The main reason I subscribe to that idea is because we as a planet are overall pretty stupid. Mm-hmm. Hell, there's people on Earth who actually get upset when a comic character like Tim Drake or someone comes out as bisexual.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, I think we are all just a civilization made by much smarter beings like that one Rick and Morty episode or God. But even if I'm wrong, like I said, it truly doesn't matter in my eyes. At the end of the day, I'm gonna keep living.
All right. Shout outs to you, Jason.
Shout out. I love that.
Shout outs to you.
Hey, you know what? It's okay that Tim Drake's bisexual.
Yes, it is.
That's the Beard Show. That's the Beard Show official stance on Tim Drake. We're fine with it.
Jason had something to say today.
Yeah, he was just, it was bubbling up.
Jason had something to say. I asked Jason a specific question. Why do you think, what do you think explains this paradox? Jason was like, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the fact that
I'm just happy to be alive at a time when Tim Drake could come out as bisexual.
And also, and we were made by sixth grade alien.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shout outs to you, Jason.
Wait, do you hear that?
Big ass alien hands playing marbles with the earth. We are in a locker. All hail, Jay.
PS3 CG is the real thing.
You sorry little ingrates.
I want to watch a whole TV show just about those aliens.
That was called Men in Black. It was a Klatsky Supo production.
You know that part in the opening credits of that show where the aliens both go like,
bam, bam. You mean when they break it down in the lineup?
They're like doing a lineup and it's kind of like a dance at first. And you're like, is it a dance? And then they're like, yeah, it's a dance. And
yeah, where they're like turning to the left for the mugshot. Yeah. But then they fucking break it down because that song is dope as shit.
That's like the most memorable thing in that show. Has that weird like sound from Dangerous in it. That's like just like, I think I would call it a hit. It's just like, bam.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't even know what that's supposed to be.
Sure.
All right. Next one's from Axed. This one's for you to read.
Okay. So Axed says, so my answer to this is that there really is no paradox, but a covering up of the clear and obvious evidence of extraterrestrial life. Wait, were you doing Doctor Who? Remember the 70s? Yeah.
Great decade.
I think that extraterrestrials do and have regularly visited the Earth, only most of the time they are not in a form that humans can recognize, probably most often existing in a plane of field beyond what humans can see or sense. Oh, I see.
Or they're like,
so what Axe doesn't realize is that what they're describing is one of the possible explanations for the Fermi paradox.
Oh yeah.
The fact that like they're already here, we just can't perceive them.
This is like one of the main,
I don't know about main, but it's like, it's there. Like, yeah,
I'm saying one of the main things people think, I would say in this country at least, is this.
Well, what? Yeah. So like, yeah, this Axed is saying like, there is no paradox, but like there is. The paradox isn't like, how come, the paradox doesn't state like, how come we haven't proven that there's aliens, but rather how come we haven't detected them? And the lack of detection could be explained away by the fact that
it's
some like where yeah. they're already here, but we simply can't.
It's effort on the part of an agency to.
Or they're imperceptible by our senses. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like the good guys dress in black. Remember that just in case.
Stop. Ever stop.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Axed continues. Moreover, there have been documented evidence of there has been documented evidence of things like UFOs released from sources like the Pentagon and released on new sources like The Guardian. I think if COVID wasn't around, this article would have made a much bigger impact. And then Axed has, don't you fucking click on that link.
I know what this article is. We all saw this.
Oh, okay.
This is the,
oh yeah, 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 yeah.
This is the one with the like footage where the military is really like, it's legit footage. It's not doctored. That doesn't mean anything about what it is, but that's real.
Yeah. They're unidentified. Unidentified flying objects doesn't mean aliens. They're just, we don't know what it is.
They don't know what it is. Yeah. Like I saw a compelling case for it to be parallax effect on like something flying pretty slowly.
I see what you're saying.
You know, like I saw some compelling evidence that it's like, you know, some sort of item that's not present for real. That's like on some instrument or something. You know what I mean? Like something that's like a phantom object.
Yeah, that could be used to explain away that footage. But as far as Axed's theory that the aliens are already among us and that it's a cover up or something, I don't know if I believe in that, but it's certainly possible. And I guess that's what Axed believes is the explanation for the Fermi paradox.
Yes. I mean, short of this getting blown wide open, I don't think we're ever going to find out the answer to this version of the theory. Like if they're doing this well of containing it, I don't think that there's any worry unless something really crazy happens that the secret's ever going to get out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Next one's from Mecha Shiva 17.
Is that person's name actually Mecha Shiva?
Yeah.
Good job.
Do you think it's a Beard Bros related name or just straight Venture Bros?
Why would it be Beard Bros?
Cause we often say Mecha Shiva, Mecha Shiva.
Do we?
Yeah.
Huh. I hope it's just a
Beard Bros homework. Let's get a supercut, a Mecha Shiva supercut.
Yeah, all right.
they say, I'm going to go with Truman Show. It's not really what I think is the most realistic answer, but that doesn't stop it from being my favorite. Literally the opposite of what we asked, but I'll take it.
Yeah, yeah.
That the extraterrestrials are out there and fully aware of us, but they're marketing Earth the reality show for quatillions of space bucks and don't want to compromise the integrity. It's a premise I think is funny. Mm-hmm. Or like, if not a reality show, maybe an alien version of a nature documentary.
A nature preserve.
Okay. There's like a classic Gray, but he has David Attenborough's voice and he's just narrating. While on screen, there's like a middle-aged guy in a cubicle just doing spreadsheets. And the alien college students are smoking space weed out of their interstellar bong, just having their minds blown. I love that this is like a 50s dance about aliens smoking weed. Like a Beach Boys song about aliens smoking weed. Soothing instrumental music plays in the background, probably on crazy alien instruments, though. Feels better to think of it that way versus the likely fact that we're either entirely alone or just too insignificant for anything else that might be out there to even care.
I feel like at the very end, Mecha Shiva told us what they think is probably most likely.
Yeah.
Ooh, man.
Thanks, Mecha Shiva.
Yeah.
Mecha Shiva.
I love the idea of aliens watching us, but I just don't think they give a fuck. Like, nobody's, there's no, like, we're not the meerkats of the.
You don't think we're that cute?
I don't think we're interesting. I think we're kind of like a.
We might be.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, who knows? But I think we're probably gross.
I mean, I think we're definitely gross.
Like watching a documentary about like grubs.
I think, yeah, but look, if people watch Real Housewives or wherever, they can watch us.
That's true. I mean, that is us,
right?
In a way.
Real Housewives of Earth.
I want to watch a sequel to Galaxy Quest that's based on like a reality show. That'd be great. Next one's from Baronade. This one's for you, Brett. It's the last one.
Okay, Baronade says, My belief is that as a civilization advanced in tech, there really is no need to go beyond your solar system. The difficulty outweighs the benefits so much, especially when you consider the concept of VR. Uh-huh. If tech continues to improve, couldn't it be possible that we have a virtual reality better than true reality? While it'd be cool to see a new planet in reality, if you can model it perfectly in VR, then play wingsuit laser tag on the surface, why go there? Okay. Van play. I see. Basically, if you can model a universe on your planet, what do you need the universe for? Well, I think that's true. However, I think we're discounting two very important things there. Number one is like there's a good amount of people out there who are part of a group that genuinely love the idea of exploration. Especially when you tell them that there's new stuff to explore. Like, you know, there's so many people out there today who are so disappointed that there's so little left to explore on the surface of our planet.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why you get a lot of people who are very intrigued by deep sea exploration as well as deep space exploration, you know, that kind of stuff. Both of those environments, very hard to explore. Right?
And one very creative movie director.
Right. but like... Even if it were, and we can like make all kinds of very realistic simulations for both of those environments right now, but there's still tons of people out there who'd be like, I don't want this. I want to go. I want to try.
Yeah.
So I think that's the first explanation, is that there's always going to be people who want to explore the real stuff. Number two, I think discounts resources. Like, even if you have, at a certain point, you're going to run out of room to plug people into your matrix. You know, like your planet's going to run out of resources and you want to explore other exoplanets, or you're going to need more space, or maybe your sun's going supernova after billions of years. Like, let's say your civilization survives for that long, right? And your sun's getting ready to go nova. Like, you might want to get the fuck out of there.
What if your society stabilizes? Like, what if you...
Homeostasis?
Like, well, like, I think what they're saying is that, like, you could just make life so good that you would never need to leave anymore. I think you're right. I think that the need for exploration and just the other mentality besides the one where everything is just an experience waiting for me to have, you know, or something like that, like, is going to drive people off into the wild blue yonder. But that might be a human thing. Maybe not. But it is possible that if reality was so, like, the way they're saying it, it's like almost like you have like omnipotence at this point. Like, the way Baronade's putting it in his description is like, you just basically can create whatever you want and experience it whenever you want. So why go anywhere, right?
Yeah.
And I think that it's possible that a civilization could become just like a perfect.
Yeah. Like virtual.
Yeah. Just like a virtual utopia. And then, like, you know, some people work in the real world and like make like bugs that make the protein and stuff that go into our
whatever, little
tubes or whatever, you know? I think that could
be possible, but I think once again, at a certain point, like, I don't know, maybe everything, as you say, it is perfectly balanced where they're not using up all their resources and everything is renewed. And maybe it's a perfect little utopia within and without of their virtual reality on their planet. But even still, eventually, shit happens and that planet won't last forever because of suns burn out. So, yeah. You know,
well, what is, they have the one more.
Yeah. Baronade continues. They truly don't care. Don't look out for other life. Don't leave their solar system because they don't need to or want to. Perhaps the technology to leave the system exists for them, but until their star begins to destabilize, they'll never need it. Yeah. I think Baronade is projecting their, I think Baronade is projecting their lack of interest in exploration on the hypothetical millions of civilizations that might be out there. Like, I'll agree that there could be tons of civilizations like this that exist. Sure.
Yeah.
But to be like, I think I don't agree that the reason we haven't heard from anybody is because they've all reached a certain level,
like, of the inevitable march towards this.
Yeah. Like, there's some sort of threshold that, like, when you reach a certain threshold of technology, that leaving the planet no longer seems worth it.
Remember the 2020s?
Yeah, sure do.
Yeah.
But like, maybe we're the outliers where we reach a certain level of technology and we're just so dumb or inexperienced or genetically fucked up that we haven't, like, where we can't, we have our own threshold that's just much earlier where we destroy ourselves. But like, you know, once again, when it comes to Baronade's hypothesis, it could definitely be a possibility. I don't think I agree with it. Maybe some civilizations out there work like that, but certainly not all.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so.
I don't think that's the explanation for why we haven't seen aliens.
Yeah, that, like, they're out there.
Yeah.
And that even, and if they have the tech,
it's just Ready Player One.
They have the tech to explore, instead they're like, well, at that point we have the tech to make our place better than anything. So
yeah, like, I know is because, like, I would rather explore.
As would I.
Yeah.
But then again, we're human. Maybe, yeah. I don't know. I don't know.
They don't have Star Trek on other planets.
Right.
Remember the 60s?
I do.
Yeah. anyway, that's it for that question. I'm going to ask next week's question really quick, and we'll each answer it real quick. That question is, and this is for you guys on Patreon to send in answers for next episode. That question is, tell us about a time you almost died, and go into as much detail as you'd like on that. I would love to hear some questions. But me personally, I'll tell you a time because I got one on deck ready to go. I was at the Badlands National Park.
Well, there's your problem.
In South Dakota. Yeah, I know.
It's in the name.
They're trying to warn you. The Badlands is the national park from the beginning of Jurassic Park. It's the same kind of vibe as that. Like, a lot of, like, sandy formations and plateaus and hills and weird, like, rocky dunes and stuff. Like, I don't even know how to describe it, but I'm sure you've seen it. But we were there, and I was very young. We were on a family road trip because my dad and my uncle used to take us to, like, American vacations, like American history based and, like, ballpark based. Because weirdly, those things, like, sync up pretty good in terms of, like, iconic baseball stadiums. So we went to some, we went and did that. My cousin or somebody spilled their drink on the rocks at the Badlands. I think they were just done. So they just, like, poured it out, and I wasn't looking. I didn't see. And I put my foot in it and I slipped and I fell, like, down off the edge of one of the things. And I was, like, hanging on.
How far down do you think it was?
No, like, enough that I would have definitely had to go to the hospital, like, optimistically.
Okay.
They might not even have taken me to the hospital, how badly I would have gotten hurt.
Because you would have been dead.
Because I would have been, like, obviously dead. Like, no chance that I was going to ever make it.
Who pulled you up?
My cousin.
How old was your cousin compared to you?
1 year younger.
How old were you?
9 or 10. Maybe a little older than that. I don't know. 12.
And you were hanging by your
hands?
Like, free, like, like, hanging?
He was able to pull. And then I was able to, like, use my other hand to, like, kind of grab something else and then put my feet somewhere where I could step up. But yeah. Like,
so at any point, were you just free hanging from your hands?
For about, like during the fall, I caught myself that way. Yeah. But then I you know, came in. And then I was like leaning against the side and I had my feet, but like if I let go, I would have fallen backwards for sure.
That's scary as shit.
It was wild.
Did your parents know about it?
Yeah. We were talking about it. We were joking about it. I was like giving him a hard time for pouring out the Mountain Dew, but I don't know. I don't know how perilous that actually was. That's like the memory of a 12-year-old. It seemed like super dangerous to me. I still remember it.
Yeah, you go back and it's 5 feet.
Dude, I don't know. Like it could very well be, but that's my one. I also like have gotten in a bunch of like almost gotten in some car accidents.
Sure.
But like, I don't know. That's not as exciting. One time I almost got T-boned right in front of the automotive museum right there.
How ironic.
Yeah, I know. On Wilshire, like inches from my door. That's not as exciting. What about you?
I think I've told this story before. I was babysitting some like my mom's friends, kids. The cops came to the door. They're like, "Who's in, like where's your parents?" I'm like, "Well, they're out." And like, "Well, who's in charge?" I'm like,
"Oh my god, yeah,
I am." And they're like, "Okay, we need all you guys to come out." And I'm like, "What's going on?" And it's like, "Well, you guys come out, we'll explain." So it's like me and like four other kids. We all like pile out into the porch, and we realize like the cops in the neighborhood. This was like at night. The cops in the neighborhood were doing this with all the houses because there were other people out on the porch. I still don't know why they did this. Bless you, Ted.
Thank you.
Probably some weird like SOP.
Yeah, I don't know why that's the procedure.
Yeah.
But they were like, okay, so we got a call that there was a bomb threat in like this fucking neighborhood. Right? Like there was a bomb threat and like, I don't remember how I learned this, but it was like some disgruntled ex put like a bomb.
Oh my God.
Like a car bomb.
Yeah.
Underneath their ex's car.
What amount? Like how long do you think that took to make that bomb?
I have no clue.
Imagine doing something as complex as building and planting a bomb in secret and never once just having the thought like,
Maybe I should see somebody for this.
Maybe I shouldn't do this.
Maybe I should chill out. You think I should? I'm going to go have a pie.
Yeah. Instead.
So I told him to stay on the porch. And like, so like, no one's like staying on the porch. Like, we're all coming out onto the lawns to like look down the street left and right. It's like, what is going on? And like, they got the dogs out there and everything sniffing and shit. And so I go up next to this, this truck, to like look down the street, this truck that's parked like right in front of the house to the side a bit. Mm-hmm. And nothing happens. Eventually they tell everybody to go back inside. And it's not until way later that I find out that it was like a car.
It was legit.
It was a car bomb and it was next to that truck I was by. Right?
Oh shit.
So I don't think I was in any real danger, right?
Maybe.
Well, I don't think they would have let anybody get into any cars and start them at that point. Right. But I don't think I was in really real danger, but like, yeah, full on bomb right there.
Imagine just having to be like, my friend is like acting nuts. She like put a bomb under a car on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you might want to check. I don't know which car it's on that.
Yeah.
Just look for a bomb. It's a bomb.
Yeah. There's a fucking bomb.
And then you as like the person who's running dispatch, whatever, like, all right.
Fuck. Yeah.
It's super disorienting when you're a 14-year-old kid, 15. Be like, what? Okay. I guess I'll come out into the lawn at 9:30 at night. You know?
That is actually a crazy story. That is actually nuts that there was a bomb.
I remember there were like German shepherds sniffing and shit.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is wild.
I'll tell you what else is wild. The fact that this podcast is still going.
That's right. So let's get the hell out of here. Guys, thank you so much for listening to yet another episode of Super Beard Show. This show is supported completely on Patreon. It keeps it free, keeps it good, keeps it regular. Just like my poops.
Just like prunes.
Head on down to patreon.com/superbeardbros to support the show. That's how you can answer these questions. That's how you can potentially title the show. That's how you can participate in our silly little bits that we do. So head down there, sign up. Thanks for listening. I'm Alex.
I'm Brad.
That's Ted over there.
I'm Ted.
Yeah. See you next time. Bye.
close there. Start with a whistle and then just start vibrating your vocal cords.
I keep like.
I think that the power down sound is actually like part of getting into it.
Like learning how to do
going
it.
Going like.
Yeah.
Something about going up to down. Yeah.
Podcast. Last part of three. This is going to be three. And then bye.